Heichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 34 in the series, entitled Ken Tzadik Sin? Recorded live at Heichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
Good morning. My journey this morning from Columbus, Ohio to LaGuardia Airport was fraught with a thick fog that could have been cut with a knife, so I apologize for the delay. It was an interesting journey, so my preparations for this Tanya class were very bumpy. I was there for Shabbos, so just if the shiur is a little bumpy, you'll blame it on the fog. Okay, we're middle of Tanya. Huh? It's better that way. No, that's the question. Yeah. We're middle of the 10th chapter of the Tanya. Today we'll finish the Perek, God willing. Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph. Daf Tesvav Amud Aleph for page 29. The line beginning, LaHashem Einei B'Tachlis, the word V'hine Madregazu. In this chapter, the author, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, explained what is the true definition of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is not only an individual who does not allow his animalistic identity and consciousness dominate his behavior, and it's only his divine soul which expresses itself in his day-to-day thought, speech, and action, but much more than that. A tzaddik is one who even his internal psyche, essence, and character has reached a state where the only one that has a say in his inner life is his nefesh ha'likis, his divine soul. In other words, his entire life, both internal life and external life, his entire personality, both his internal personality and external personality, is a continuous exercise of harmony with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just that he does not sin. He doesn't even possess a desire towards sin. The inner conflict between a godly self and an egotistical self simply does not exist within him. So it's not just that the tzaddik experiences a conflict internally between two perspectives, but does not allow the nefesh ha-bahamis to determine his behavior. No. The tzaddik does not experience that internal conflict because his entire inner personality is nothing but an expression of the nefesh ha-lekis's character and perspective, philosophy, and therefore ambitions and desires. So by a tzaddik, sin is something that's absolutely despised. Just like by us, or by some of us. Maybe we have tzaddikim here, basically. But by some of us, there are certain things, it's not that you're not going to eat it because it's not so healthy, or it's not good for the diet, or whatever. But we simply despise it. For a human being, for example, to eat human waste is something that the average normal human being detests it. He abhors it. Yeah, it's not like there's an internal, when you're hungry, there's an internal conflict. Maybe I should eat it, maybe I shouldn't eat it. And you have to control yourself that that conflict shouldn't determine your behavior. Your whole personality shouts, this is disgusting, it's absolutely out of, not only out of vocabulary, your whole inner psyche abhors it. By the tzaddik, anything that's antithetical to the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to godliness, to spirituality, to holiness, he is disgusted with it. It is abhorrent to the tzaddik. How does he do this? Because his nefesh, habahamis, the animalistic, egotistical identity which exists within us and is the source of the ongoing conflict in man's life, doesn't exist by him. The only entity that exists is the nefesh halikis. In a tzaddik gufa, there are two levels, but one moment. So in other words, in the tzaddik's personality, there is nothing that mirrors or expresses the falsehood, the veneer, the shell that obscures the truth of godliness in this world. Usually, all of us experience two nefeshes, and each nefesh has its own identity, and the nefesh HaBahamas' identity is from klipa, from the shell reality. And therefore, there is that reality in a person which obscures the truth and allows him to gravitate towards such entities and realities which are inherently hollow and purposeless. The tzaddik, however, doesn't have that falsehood, that shell existing within him. So his whole internal character is consistent. And it's not consistent, it's overtaken by the character and personality of the nefesh halikis. So his consciousness, his personality, is the persona of the divine soul. So a tzaddik doesn't have any internal struggles. He doesn't have any internal struggles between nefesh halikis and nefesh habahamas, between a divine reality and an egotistical reality. He might struggle. Divinity, God, is infinite, is Ein Sof. And as a Hasidic Rebbe, as a Rebbe once said, Rebbe Marash, he said, if good is good, is besser is besser. If good is good, doesn't mean that better is not better. So in good itself, there are always levels and ranks and gradations, and the tzaddik himself ascends from one level to another level. But that battle between good and evil within his nature, and a polarity, a duality that's pulling him in two opposite directions, that doesn't exist within the real, in the real state of a tzaddik. Not the borrowed term of a tzaddik. I say, this guy is a tzaddik. Fine, we borrow the phrase. In the real, ultimate definition of a tzaddik, that struggle does not exist. Just to give a simple example of what a tzaddik is. Sometimes you have a headache. It's in the evening and you want to lay down for a few hours. So you ask someone, your friend, listen, I have a headache, I have to rest. If you could please wake me up in 2 hours after Davar Ma'ariv. What happens if you didn't eat all day? For some reason, comes evening, and you want to go to sleep for 2 hours, you have a headache. You come to your friend, could you please wake me up? Because I didn't eat anything today, and I'm scared I'm going to forget to eat. So wake me up, I shouldn't forget to eat. Yeah. Most people don't do it. Why? What's the difference? The difference is very simple. When you don't eat, your stomach will remind you. You don't need someone else to remind you. Your system will shout, you didn't eat, I'm hungry. What about Ma'ariv? Ma'ariv, your system won't shout, you didn't have a Ma'ariv. You need an external force to wake you up and tell you you didn't have a Ma'ariv. By the tzaddik, Ma'ariv is like supper. What's the reason for this? By the average person, his day-to-day present consciousness is often dominated by the nefesh HaBahamas' character. And the nefesh HaBahamas is an animal. So therefore, food, it needs and it wants. And when it doesn't receive it, it releases its voices and it allows you to hear that I'm hungry, I was not satiated today. The nefesh HaLakis needs Ma'ariv to survive. The nefesh halikis is nourished by ma'ariv. The divine soul is not nourished by Szechuan beef or by other types of physical mundane realities. It's nourished by spirituality, by godliness, by a ma'ariv. So when you don't have a ma'ariv, the nefesh halikis says ma'ariv. So by the person who has both souls, and often the nefesh halikis is dismissed to the cellars, to the basements or the sub-basements of our consciousness, so we don't hear that voice. But by the tzaddik, it's vice versa. It's the nefesh halikis that fills, pervades his entire personality. It is the 10 faculties, the 3 cognitive and 7 emotional and functional attributes of the divine soul that pervade his entire psyche and character, his mind, his heart, and all his limbs and organs. But not only his limbs and organs, his whole internal psyche, his mind and his heart. So therefore, the needs of the Nefesh HaLikis are his natural desire. That's what he's made up of. In the tzaddik itself, the Alter Rebbe said, there are generally 2 levels. The complete tzaddik, the tzaddik gomer, the incomplete tzaddik, the tzaddik sheini gomer. The complete tzaddik is that individual which godliness has become so much part of his identity and reality that it's not only that he abnegated, he nullified the animal soul. Furthermore, he has transformed it into a force of holiness and godliness. He has managed not only to chase it out of his life, to rid himself from it, to empty, so to speak, his heart from its identity, but he has mamish metamorphosized it, where it becomes an ally, a partner that identifies fully with the ambitions and the desires of the divine soul. And therefore the tzaddik is called a tzaddik v'tayv loy, which means a tzaddik who knows only good, and the good is subdued to him. He is good, and the good is subdued to him, which means the nefesh habamis is also good. There's only good within him. Then we have the incomplete tzaddik, the tzaddik she'eni gamur, who indeed does not feel any temptation towards evil, any temptation to anything which is not godly and holy, but nevertheless, he has not succeeded to transform his nefesh habahamas. So the Alter Rebbe says, this demonstrates that there is still some of the previous identity of the nefesh habahamas within him, but he does not sense it in a conscious way. Rather, it exists in the subconscious cellars of a psyche, but that identity of the nefesh habahamas, which does tend to connect and to desire earthly, mundane things that are divorced from holiness and godliness, that still exists within him. But nevertheless, does he experience a conflict? He does not experience a conflict. In his conscious self, that doesn't exist, and from his perspective, he has totally rid himself from the nefesh habahamas. He doesn't feel an iota, even an iota of its character. But the very fact that it has not been transformed demonstrates that something is still there embedded within him. Why should a tzaddik receive a schar for doing a mitzvah if there's nothing that prevented him from doing a mitzvah? Very well. Ask another question. Does the tzaddik have free choice? Of course the tzaddik has free choice. And he chose. He chose one way. He chose years ago. Just as you or I, at the moment that we have a choice to fulfill our purpose in life, to do a moral act or to do an immoral act, and we choose the moral act, at that moment we exercised our free choice and we chose a moral act. Yeah. Imagine you can choose the moral act, but that shall become part of your reality. It should become a perpetual state, not a one-time activity. That's what the tzaddik chose. The tzaddik chose that goodness, holiness, and godliness should become his reality. And that wasn't easy. The tzaddik doesn't walk around knocking samochkas, as they say in Yiddish. Sunflower seeds, you know. He doesn't walk around with his hands in his pocket. I have only an Nefesh HaLikis. I'm a chaya. There's no question. There's no polarity. There's no multiplicity. There's no duality. Tzaddik has difficult work. The tzaddik has reached this state. The tzaddik is a human being. A person is not born a tzaddik. A person is born with the ability to develop himself and become a tzaddik. But this is a human being who toiled in such a profound and powerful way that he managed actually to eradicate or even to transform the Nefesh HaBahamas. He tapped in and he accessed his Nefesh HaLikis and made it the sole speaker and opinion giver in his life. So every mitzvah is ultimately a result of that hard work and toil, yeah. One second, Okay. 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 Well, let's not confuse two issues. Your question was, why should he receive? Your two questions: why should he receive skar if right now he didn't work for it? A second question is, can a tzaddik sin? Does a tzaddik have prerit to sin once he has reached this state? Can he sin or not? Huh? Yeah. How do you know? How do you know? Okay. You mean Yechon HaKayin Gadol, huh? Meishu Rabbeinu was as a sin nachanan, huh? It's not so poshut, no. Meishu Rabbeinu was white from a sinner. Yeah. A Yid once came to the Kotzke Rebbe, he says, what are we reading Chumash? The whole Chumash is full of sins. This one sin and that one sin. These are our role models. So the Kotzke says, from their Avedis, from their transgressions, a Torah was written. A blueprint for life was written. From your mitzvahs, a Torah won't be written. When we deal with the Avos, Moshe Rabbeinu, these characters, to be understood on another level. But that's a separate issue. That's an interesting issue, huh? Al tamen ba'atzmach adyei ma'isach. You're saying it refers only to a beinoni, not to a tzaddik. Okay, so there's two issues. Let's not confuse. The issue of schar, I'm saying one thing. Regardless, let's say he can sin, he could sin, it's another issue, I'll discuss it in a moment. The tzaddik worked himself up to this state. He's doing this mitzvah today as a result of 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 years of work, of deep effort and toil, where the tzaddik has managed to make the nefesh halikiz the soul voice in his life, internally and externally. And we'll see soon that this level of the tzaddik cannot even be attained by every individual, even if he wants to. The tzaddik is a human being. As mentioned, every nuance in his personality is nothing but an expression of the nefesh halikiz's character, of the divine soul's character. So there's no such a thing in a tzaddik as a yearning or a desire to anything which is antithetical to what the nefesh halikis wants out of life. And what does the nefesh halikis want out of life? One thing. It wants to be connected with absolute true reality. Anything that's not that, or certainly antithetical to that, doesn't exist in the map of the tzaddik's mind, in his vocabulary, not only in his mouth, in his whole inner soul. So that's the answer for this question. Does a tzaddik have free choice at the moment? So when you ask generally, does a tzaddik have free choice? Of course he has free choice. And he chose. He chose something. He didn't choose to do a one-time mitzvah. He chose to develop his life in a way that he should always want to do a mitzvah. But that was an outcome of his choice. Now, what about now? L'poyel mamash, can a tzaddik sin? Apparently it would seem, a lot of people are saying easily, lightly, yes. Based on the Tanya, it's difficult to understand. How can a tzaddik sin? If there's nothing in him that desires sin, how can he sin? If the nefesh halikis is the sole speaker in his life, so there's not even an instinct within him that should want to sin. So the answer to this is threefold. first simpler ones and then a more subtle one. A, the tzaddik can make a mistake. He can err. Tzaddik is not a Ribbono Shel Olam. Tzaddik could make an error. Tosfos writes, Lo yu'una l'tzaddik kol oven. When we say that a tzaddik doesn't even experience a coincidence of sin, there's a shitta in Tosfos brings it that it's only b'midah d'achila, only in issues of food, but in other issues, it's possible the tzaddik should make an error, should make a misjudgment. Does it mean he wanted a sin? No, but he doesn't make an error. A. B. Till Mashiach comes, our world is not complete. There is an inherent void. There is an inherent defect in our reality, in our society, since the Chet Eitz Hadas. And therefore, many situations are by definition incomplete. And any choice is ultimately incomplete. The Gemara in Gittin, the sugya about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, discusses Schariah ben Afkilos' choice when the Roman emperor sent an offering to the Beis HaMikdash, and Kamtza, who was it? Bar Kamtza blemished it, and the Chachamim, the sages, wanted to offer it because you're dealing with the emperor, and Schariah ben Afkilos said, no, we cannot set a precedent. And the Gemara says, "An vasnusa shel Schariah ben Afkilos, hechiva is beisenu." The piety—that's the word over there. Piety. An vasnusa means humility, but the piety, the tzitkus of Schariah ben Afkilos destroyed our Beis Hamikdash. In other words, if Schariah ben Afkilos would have quote unquote sinned a little bit, if he would have been such a tzaddik, that was the correct thing. But what's pshat? Our reality is not a perfected reality. There's a choice this way, and a choice this way, and the tzaddik chose wrong. Sometimes, by the result of what our world is, and that's not the tzaddik's fault, both choices are incomplete. By the very definition that till Mashiach comes, our world is an incomplete world. So it might not be an error. Might not be a misjudgment. But by definition, it's an incomplete choice, not as a result, again, of his temptation to sin. By another human being, he experiences a temptation to go and do something which is antithetical to the divine will. Either he does it, or she does it, or he doesn't do it. By the tzaddik, it doesn't come as a result of that. Now is point number three. And this is already a more subtle point. Free choice, in its ultimate sense, does not necessarily mean, delete the word necessarily, does not mean you choose it based on your nature. You can choose something despite the fact that your nature does not gravitate towards that specific object or reality. On the contrary, in numerous discourses of Hasidus, it is discussed that that is what free choice is all about. Because if you're choosing it based on your nature, so it's not free choice. It's a choice that has been compelled as a result of what type of personality you have. So your personality automatically, by nature of what it is, gravitates towards this specific thing. Ultimate free choice means a person can transcend their nature, despite the fact that I have no desire. Yes, no desire. No, a person chooses it. So therefore, it's possible that the tzaddik can have bechira to do something maybe absolutely contrary to what his very nature dictates. So you'll ask the question, why should he do that? Why should he choose something that's contrary to his nature if it's sin? So that's a good question. That's a good question. But the point is that to say that tzaddik doesn't have free choice, he can have free choice. He can choose something that he doesn't want. So although that in his teva, there is no room for a temptation towards sin or anything similar to sin, nevertheless, the power of free choice is something that can transcend nature and totally doesn't consider what I want or I don't want. I choose. That's the response to this issue. This is the Chlal by Tzaddik. How about Tzaddik? So, one second. even after this said, or even after what I have just said, this doesn't minimize in any iota what's happening in the tzaddik's life. The tzaddik's life, his entire personality and character, is a nefesh ha-lekisedik character. And all the above mentioned issues are something that are superimposed and outside of the chemistry of the psychological and spiritual anatomy of the tzaddik, which is wholly godly.
The point is this, that the tzaddik, if he reaches that high level that you're talking about, then the divine voice of Torah should be speaking to him all the time and prevent him from doing what nature calls.
Okay, I'm game. Fine, you're saying... Not exactly. Well, if it's tzarich tzarich to fall, define, what do you mean it's tzarich tzarich to fall? You mean that he should make an error, that he's that the Eibishter, that's the Eibishter, so to speak, causing him to fall. The Ribbono Shel Olam. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts a situation in front of him, a certain situation, and he doesn't have a choice, he didn't know what's happening, whatever it is, so it's not something that's coming from his nature. It's not that his nefesh abaham is triumphed over here. His nefesh alakiz was functioning this moment as well. His life is nothing but an exercise of his nefesh alakiz. But due to several factors mentioned above, there can be errors. And there could be outcomes that might be negative. But again, that doesn't express or tell us, taint his individual tzaddik-like nature. This is generally a tzaddik. When you're talking about people like Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avos, Taka Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't want to really get into this. This is a whole class or series of classes for itself about the sinner that we find in the Torah and the Tanakh. Taka, very interesting topic. But for example, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, easily some people say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can't believe in yourself till the day you die. So Moshe Rabbeinu could also make a mistake. If we accept that, fine. Moshe Rabbeinu can make a mistake. So how do we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai one day and he told the Jews, you know, I have for you today 60 mitzvahs that I heard from Hashem. You have to put on tefillin every day. You have to put a mezuzah on your door. You have to eat only this type of food and this type of food. Maybe over there, Moshe also made up a little mistake. Elamah, you'll say, no, over there he didn't. How do you know he didn't? Because he said he didn't. Maybe that was also a mistake. So what's pshat? If Moshe Rabbeinu is fallible, our Torah has a serious, serious defect. A serious problem. You can throw a lot of it out of the window. Everything but what the Jews themselves experienced at Sinai, which was not the whole Torah. It was the Anoichi and Layilcha. The first two commandments. Everything besides that, you could throw out the window. Moshe Rabbeinu is fallible Wednesday afternoon, June 30th. Why can't he be fallible Monday morning when he speaks about an Etz Mitzvah? So you'll say, what about all those experiences in Chumash, all those episodes of Chumash with the rock and the water? So, these things, when you're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, it has to be understood on totally on another level. In Tfilas Geshem, when we ask Hashem, the beginning of the year in Shmini Atzeres, we do Tefillas Geshem, the Tefillah for rain, the new rain of the season. We discuss different aspects connected with water. And we discuss the praises of our forefathers, of our patriarchs, in different things that are connected with water. And it's all about their positive deeds and endeavors. And then we come to Moshe Rabbeinu. We say, Ala Sela Hach V'yetzimayim. He hit on the rock, and water was emitted. And that's the praise of Moshe Rabbeinu. Furthermore, and this doesn't have to do with Tfilas Geshem, these words were developed into a beautiful, Hasidic, lively, joyous melody, Ala Sela Hach V'yetzimayim, that sung and danced with Simchas Torah till the wee hours of the morning. Gevald is one of the greatest tragedies in the Torah. Due to this, Moshe couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe's decision to hit the rock wasn't so pashut. Even on the surface level, even without Tanya, what was exactly Moshe Rabbeinu's problem? What do you think? This person communicated ponim el ponim with the Ribbono Shel Olam, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and suddenly Hashem told him to speak to a rock, and Moshe said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to hit the rock. I mean, anyone sitting in this class, HaKadosh tells you, go speak to the rock. No, I'm going to hit the rock. We don't have a Yetzirah to hit rocks. You think Moshe Rabbeinu had an inclination with him? Go hit that rock. You'll gain a lot of pleasure out of that. Why would Moshe hit the rock? So we won't get into the moment of the explanation. It's a very long explanation. I'm just trying to convey the point that, yes, a tzaddik can sin. Again, not as a result of his nature, as a result of certain circumstances. But then there are certain tzaddikim. We're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu and the Avos, that it says in Svarim clearly that over here there is a certain sense of infallibility. And Moshe Rabbeinu was included. And these are few in generations. This is not the average tzaddik. We'll soon see how many tzaddikim there are in a generation. We'll learn that now. But those few tzaddikim in the level of Moshe Rabbeinu who communicated the Torah, the divine blueprint of the Jewish people, over there is an area of infallibility. Moshe Hayaraya. Moshe saw. Moshe could not err. Moshe Hayaraya. There was once a Jew, and he had a specific problem. A problem in a certain area of life. So someone suggested that he go ask the advice of this and this Jew, who's they say is a tzaddik. So he said, no. He's not going to go to him. Why? Koyach pikechaya. Koyach was a wise man. In the Polish Chassidus, it's discussed that Koyach was considered a tzaddik. Yeah. So Rashi and my Rolish Tuzu, why did he do such a foolish thing? Ein avitase. His eyes have deceived him. But Moshe Hayaraya, Moshe's eyes don't deceive him. Moshe saw. The Moshe Rabbeinu in the generation is Raya. Koyach is a tzaddik, but Ein Avitase. It's a deeper interpretation than Ein Avitase. He can make an error, not because he is inherently evil, because a human being is a human being. Not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person can make a misjudgment due to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed that situation. But then there's Moshe Rabbeinu Hayar Raya. That's a whole other level. Let's learn inside the world. What's so funny? And then, of course, the Gemara is Kalaimer, David Chateini Elataya, Kalaimer, Reuven Chateini Elataya. Yeah, you open up a Tanakh, David and Basheva, etc., etc. The Tanakh is full of these realities. Comes the Gemara and says, Eini Elataya, he's making an error. By the way, David HaMelech is the one who said, V'libi Chalal Bekirb. My heart is devoid within me. But some of Farshim say it was after the tshuva that David HaMelech did after the story of Hashem. Yes. Some people say the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu concerning this rock was not the actual hitting of the rock, but the fact that he said Shimon HaAmorim, he lost his temper, kas. But even in this state, Moshe Rabbeinu losing his kas is not to be understood. You know, the man was an elderly man. He was tired. He was exhausted. He got angry. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Jew who Shechina medaberes mitach greinai. The Shechina spoke from his throat. The Medrash says Tfila leMoshe isha elikim. A prayer to Moshe, the man of God, Zag the Medrash Tilim, Mechet, what means Ish Halikim, a godly man. If he's a man, he's not God. Zag the Medrash, Mechetzio Lamata Ish, Mechetzio Lamayla Likim. His bottom half was manly, his top half was godly. Now, of course, we have to understand what this means exactly. Bottom half was manly. The point being, without elaborating this issue, that Moshe Rabbeinu has suspended his ego absolutely and unequivocally. That he allowed godliness to flow through him. His ego was not a contradiction. Moshe was not a human being for himself. He was not a self-contained individual. He has suspended his ego so deeply and so absolutely that he has become nothing but an expression, a mirror and a reflection of the singular reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hine madregezu. Now this level, which level? This level, that of the incomplete tzaddik, we discussed before that, and the tzaddik itself, there are generally two levels. The complete tzaddik, the incomplete tzaddik. The complete tzaddik who totally transformed his nefesh ha-bahamas, the incomplete tzaddik who has not transformed his nefesh ha-bahamas, and that demonstrates that there is still ra embedded within him. There is still something of the nefesh ha-bahamas in its previous nature that exists within him. So this level, mischalekes l'rovavis madregas, is subdivided into myriads of levels. Not just, there is one level of tzaddik sheini gomer. This very reality and sort, its prototype of tzaddik sheini gomer can be subdivided into myriads and myriads of levels. What makes the difference between one level of an incomplete tzaddik and another level of an incomplete tzaddik? Says the Alter Rebbe, be'inyin p'chinas miyut hara, Hanisher me'echad me'arba yisaydis rayim. It is the quality of the minute remaining evil deriving from any one of the four evil elements. In one tzaddik, the remaining evil may consist of the element of fire. So the little evil that exists in the subconscious cellars of a soul is a sense of arrogance, which is derived from the fire element that exists in the animal soul. The animal soul is a composite of four spiritual elements, fire, water, air, and earth. So by him, it's the evil from the element of fire. By the other one, the element of water. The other one, it's the element of ear. So he has that laziness embedded in his subconscious. Another one, ear is frivolousness. Or earth, which would be laziness, the expression of laziness. So the quality of the ra is different by every incomplete tzaddik. The quality of the remaining evil varies from one tzaddik to another tzaddik. That's one issue. And Alter Rebbe continues. Ube'inyin bitulei b'miyute. The subdivision also takes into account the degree to which the remaining evil is nullified in the good because of its minuteness. In other words, in addition to the variations between one tzaddik and another tzaddik in the quality of the evil, depending on which element of the four elements it is derived from, in addition to that, there is also the subdivision, which may be termed not as the former subdivision, which is more a qualitative subdivision, but more the quantitative subdivision, so to speak, depending on the degree to which the evil loses its identity within the good. Depending on the degree of the nullification of the evil within the good. Because that nullification can be, says the Alter Rebbe, b'shishim al derech mashal, in 60 times as much good, for example, ay be'elef or revave v'kayotze al derech mashal. Or in 1,000, or 10,000, and so on. In Jewish law and halacha, there's a concept called bittul, nullification. When a non-kosher foodstuff falls into a kosher foodstuff, there has to be a certain amount of the kosher food so that it may be mevatel, it may nullify the taste of the non-kosher food, and then the whole food remains kosher, it's deemed kosher. For example, you have a pot of meat and a drop of milk falls into this pot. So the halacha is, if the quantity of the meat is 60 times the quantity of the milk that fell in, the taste of the milk is a bottle. it's nullified within the 60 times of the meat that overwhelms the taste of the milk, and therefore it's incapable of tainting the mixture with its taste, with its flavor, and the whole pot is kosher. That's called bittul b'shishim, nullification of one within 60. Then there is a concept of bittul b'elef, one in 1,000, bittul b'revava, one in 10,000, and the like. Just as this is the case in physical reality, the same is true in the spiritual realms concerning the relationship between evil and good in the psyche and character of man's life. So we have the tzaddik, by whom the remaining embedded evil in his subconscious may be such that the proportion of the good to the evil can be described as 60-1. Or the evil can be described in another type of tzaddik in the proportion of 1 to 1,000. Or it can be described in another tzaddik's life that the proportion of the good relative to the evil is that of 10,000-1. So this is also something that makes the difference between one type of incomplete tzaddik and another type of incomplete tzaddik. It doesn't get lower than 1 to 60, because by a tzaddik she'eini gamur, it has to be nullified. If you throw in that drop of milk, and there's no 60 times the quantity, the meat is not 60 times the quantity of the drop, so generally speaking, it taints the pot of meat with its flavor. So you sense it, you sense the flavor, it's not kosher. By the tzaddik, he doesn't sense the ra. In his identity, he doesn't feel consciously any effect, any expression of this evil that exists within him. The tzaddik does not experience any expression of the egotistical, compulsive, earthly, selfish, mundane, animalistic, zoological self. The only identity that he experiences in his conscious is his godly, transcendental, selfless, heavenly self. But that doesn't mean it's not there. By a tzaddik gamur, it's not there, it doesn't exist. The nefesh habahamus has been transformed. By the tzaddik sheini gamur, it exists, but it's not conscious, it's bottle. It's totally not felt. And Alter Rebbe says, Vehein heim p'chinis tzaddikim harabim shebechol haderis. These various levels in the ranks of incomplete tzaddikim are the levels of the numerous tzaddikim found in all generations, all of whom who generally belong to this category. As we find in the Gemara, the tamnis are alfei tzaddikaye kaimi kamei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 18,000 tzaddikim stand before the Holy One, blessed be. So many tzaddikim there are indeed. 18,000. Many tzaddikim there are indeed, as the Gemara says, 18,000 tzaddikim stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but these are all incomplete tzaddikim. So the many tzaddikim from other generations who are true tzaddikim, it's not just tzaddikim in the borrowed term of a tzaddik, someone who most of his life is characterized by meritorious deeds, is defined as a tzaddik. The real definition of a tzaddik is what they actually attain. But nevertheless, this is the incomplete tzaddik. Achal Maila Sadi Gamur, but concerning the rank of the complete tzaddik, Husha Amar Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Ra'isi Bnei Aliyah Ve'emu Atamchum. Concerning this level, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's statement applies. I have seen men of ascent, Bnei Aliyah, and they are but few. This Gemara that Alter Rebbe is quoting here is in Masechta Sukkah Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara states something that Chizkiyah said in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ra'isi bnei Aliyah v'heimu watna, I have seen bnei Aliyah, men of ascent, literally, and they are few. And he says, Im elef hein, if there are 1,000, aniyu bnei mehen, I and my son are among them. Im meyahem, aniyu bnei mehen, if there are only 100 bnei Aliyah, my son and I are among them. Im shnayim hein, if there are only 2 bnei Aliyah, aniyu bnei mehen, aniyu bnei hein. If there are only 2, it's me and my son, that's certain. That's what Reb Shimon ben Yochai said. In Zohar, actually, there's an addition. Im echad hu, aniyu. If there's 1 ben Aliyah, it's I. 1 second. It's a good question. 1 second. There are so few bnei aliyah v'amarava tamni strei alfedara havad kameku shabrichu. 18,000 generations stand in front of Hashem, and there's another girsa in Aruch. That's what Alter Rebbe's girsa. Tamniser alfit tzadikaya. 18,000 tzadikim stand in front of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara answers loikasha. Had the mistakli bas paklar yamir here. Had the loy mistakli bas paklar yamir. These are the tzaddikim who view the Shechina, who see the Shechina through a clear, transparent screen. And these are the tzaddikim who see it through a screen which is not transparent. That's what the Gemara answers. So you're talking about 2 types of tzaddikim. So the Alter Rebbe explains that what are these 2 types of tzaddikim? The tzaddik gamur, the tzaddik she'eni gamur. The tzaddik she'eni gamur is an incomplete tzaddik, is the one who relates to the Shechina through a spaklari she'eni mir, through a screen which is not transparent. So therefore, his relationship to godliness is not on the same level that the tzaddik gamur's relationship is. And these tzaddikim, there are indeed many, 18,000. Possible 18,000. The tzaddik gamur, the aspaklai yamira, can boil down to 2. Like the Gemara says, Shimon ben Yochai and his son. Or what? So that's the Ra'isi bnei Aliyah v'heimuat. And Alter Rebbe says, Shalachain ikrayim bnei Aliyah. The reason the complete tzaddikim are called bnei Aliyah, Shemahapchin harau maile moisim l'kdusha. It's because they convert evil and make it ascend. They're ma'ilid. They make an aliyah of the evil to holiness. That's why they're called bnei aliyah. And this is the level of a tzaddik gamur. The tzaddik gamur is the ben aliyah who actually is ma'ilid. He creates an elevation. He ascends the ra where that becomes transformed to kedusha. His nefesh ha-bahamas, klipadika element, which is usually defined as ra's evil, is actually transformed into Kedusha. Kedeisa b'zayar b'agdam. As it's written in the introduction of the Zayar, which was authored by Reb Shimon ben Yochai and his students, Shekshiratzer Reb Chiyah l'alus l'heichu Reb Shimon ben Yochai. That when Reb Chiyah wished to ascend to the Heichel, to the heavenly chamber of Reb Shimon ben Yochai, Shama kala nafik v'amar, Reb Chiyah heard a voice come out and say, Man min chayin de'chashucha mahapcha l'nahayra. Whichever of you has transformed darkness into light, the time in Miriru Lemisk, and has transformed the bitter taste to sweetness, Adla Yesun Hacha, before coming here, V'chulu, etc., only they may enter. Reb Chiyah heard a voice, it's only that man who transformed light into darkness into light, bitterness into sweetness, that can come into my chamber. Why is this? Because Reb Shimon ben Yochai was from Bnei Aliyah. And the level of Bnei Aliyah, the Alter Rebbe explains, is that human being who transformed Ra into Kedusha, has taken the darkness of the world, a world that conceals and obscures its true reality, its true sustenance, vitality, being, content, design, and purposeness of being, and transforms that darkness into light. By the tzaddik, the world is viewed from the glasses, from the perspective of the nefesh elikis. That darkness has been transformed. And the bitterness of the nefesh ha-bahamas has been transformed into sweetness. The force of the nefesh ha-bahamas has become an ally to the nefesh elikis,
which is important because the Nefesh HaBamis has its own unique animalistic simplicity and energy that when it becomes a force for good, it complements and it adds an ingredient, a flavor to his divine worship that he didn't have before. So this human being can enter the Eichel of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai because it's the Bnei Aliyah. And the Bnei Aliyah is this type of tzaddik who has transformed darkness into light and bitterness into sweetness. Another reason for their designation of Bnei Aliyah, because even their divine service in the area of doing good, and their fulfillment of Torah and its mitzvahs, who letzerich gavaya, Umayla Maila Adiraim Kol Hamailus, is for the sake of the above, for Aliyah. Their service is directed towards a most high level, towards the loftiest heights, toward the highest of the heights. Adiraim Kol Hamailus. What does that mean? V'loi k'dei l'dafka b'yizbarach b'lvat. Their divine service is not intended merely to attach themselves to Hashem, lirvois tzimayin nafsham atzmei el Hashem, to quench the thirst of their soul, which thirsts for Hashem. Their performance of Torah mitzvahs is not merely that they should become connected to Hashem to quench their spiritual thirst to be connected to true reality. The divine service of lower levels of tzaddikim, not bnei aliyah, may indeed be for the purpose of satiating their thirst for Hashem and their desire to cleave to Him. For indeed, the fulfillment and learning of Torah and mitzvahs satisfies this need. K'may shekasev, as it's written in Yeshaya, the beginning of Perek Nun Hei, Hoi chol tzamei l'chulamayim. Hoi! Hoi, exclaims the prophet. All who are thirsty should go to waters, as explained elsewhere. What's explained elsewhere? The Alter Rebbe later in Tanya explains, what does the prophet mean? Whoever is thirsty should go drink water. That's what you need Yeshaya Navi for. Of course, if you're thirsty, you go drink water. So, literally, the interpretation is, some people interpret, water is Torah. So if you're thirsty, you should go drink. You should go learn Torah. If you're thirsty for what? If you're thirsty for Torah, you should go learn Torah. Of course, if you want to learn Torah, go learn Torah. So the Rebbe explains, no, Yeshaya Navi is saying something very powerful. Ha'ichal Tzami, someone who's thirsty for spirituality, for godliness, someone who's thirsty for connecting with absolute real reality, with connecting with Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he might think that how does he do that? His life has to be characterized by meditation, contemplation, transcendence, l'chul amayim, go learn Torah.